It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name's Blue. Alongside me is the world famous Joe Grande, and you are now tuned in to the greatest cannabis show on this side of the world.
I think everywhere. I agree. I think even in Mars too, as now that we have ships and people going to space.
Ships
and,
or
not ships.
Planes.
Not only planes, spaceships, right? Spaceships and
I guess
Virgin
so, yeah.
Just went there. Elon Musk is going up there. Everything else is...
It's happening fast.
And the crazy thing is I heard when they were in space, they actually listened to one of the episodes of Cannabis Talk 101.
And smoked a joint.
All of the above. So yeah. Thank you guys for listening to us literally all around the world and more. It's been great being a part of everything
out
there.
Does that mean we're not only in the world, we're in the planet now?
We're the largest cannabis talk show in the planet. In the galaxies, actually. Now we're galaxies.
Galaxies, yes.
Galaxies.
Because they listen to us. And
yeah, they were listening to us. Virgin listened to some podcasts,
you know,
and one
I
of the ones they listened to was Cannabis Talk 101.
We should actually do the... we should actually put that out on like a huge like PR buzz and just see if it hits, right? Let's just be like, yo, they listen.
Because if people, you don't realize that I'm bullshitting right now, well, then I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, but that's what I'm saying.
You never know.
How hard would that go? That might go real hard.
Heard firsthand that they were listening. My hand went like this and told
Elon
me.
Elon Musk, you know what I mean?
Is listening to Cannabis Talk 101 up there. And so are the folks from Virgin Airlines.
Yes.
Or Virgin, whatever it's
they
called.
Were there, but, yeah. They were there listening to Cannabis Talk 101 in outer space, the first podcast to ever be heard. You know what I mean? And
first podcast ever to be heard out of space.
Yes.
That'd be great if that was the case.
Yes. And you know, quite frankly, we're the first to break FM radio.
We would be the first one to be out of space. Why not? You know what I mean? But thank you guys all for listening all around the world, 124 countries and counting. And it's just wonderful. If you want to give us a call, if you do, please do. Say hello. 1-800-420-1980. That number again is 800-420-1980. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Cannabis Talk 101 on all social media. And make sure you go to the YouTube page, folks, because on the YouTube page, we have episodes of this full show that we're doing live in studio. That's the podcast. So check out our YouTube page. All of our staff has been going hard putting up content on there. So go to YouTube, Cannabis Talk 101.
Yes, yes.
And take a look at how big I really am, because I'm a lot bigger than Blue.
Yeah.
Even though people say, hey, Joe, or they come to me and say, hey, Blue. They get us mixed up more than
all the time.
And not only mixed up like that, which one, Joe, you sound just like that dude.
Man.
I'm like, damn, that's crazy. So, you know, you'll get to see the real size difference of us where I don't know how people get us confused, to be honest with you, when I look at us and I go, I'm way bigger than Blue. There's no mistake in that. Oh, my God, is that Blue? Anyhow, of course, Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law, they're not here today. Craig's got some work to do. They are working attorneys. Mark has some family and scenarios with his grandmother. Man, this is a serious one where his mother-in-law, not his grandmother, she's 90.
91.
91 is she? And 91. She was fine like a week ago and then just had some really bad turns to not doing so good. So our thoughts and prayers go out to his mother-in-law, who he had to go home right now to go pick up his son because his wife had to go help her, and it's not looking good. So
well,
my heart goes out.
She's demobilized. I mean, we just found out that she is no longer going to be walking.
She doesn't even want to eat today. Is the hurt new thing?
Oh no!
Yeah, so I heard the walking, but now she doesn't want to eat.
Uh oh! And you know that's when you know most elders become onto what we call comfort care. And in my opinion,
hospice and comfort care.
Right. But in my opinion, during the comfort care process, I think there's a lot of people get it miscued that we just got to give our family members as many opioids and as much drugs as they want. And this is where cannabis, in my opinion, becomes a new medical breakthrough, because I know from my own father being in comfort care that he started denying all the opioids, all of the Vicodins and oxycodone and stuff that they were providing him, and went straight to THC and had a much better quality of life. Also became had an appetite again, and a lot of the reasons that they lose that appetite is because of the drugs they're on. And so what does that do? That starts to shut down the organs.
The body faster, because if you're not eating, you're not feeding your body. So
correct.
You're not getting stronger.
Yeah, so for me, you know, I think
it'd be
so
interesting
important.
To see with his family, though, because, you know, this is the Filipino side, his wife's side.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if they're so into it as Mark's family would maybe more into it than her. But anyhow, that's where they're at, and our hearts go out to them. But
sure.
You know, make sure you follow them at @pot_brothers_law. Our underscore at all the underscores in between Pot Brothers at Law, bottom line. I just messed that up. Chris is at one, Christopher Wright.
Hello.
I am at Joe Grande 52. And I'm sorry I missed you guys for the last few shows, but I have a great story for you guys that is going green, making noise, making news, making waves. It's everything blue under the sun. And it's activists demanding reparations for ex-cons convicted of cannabis charges in the state of Illinois. This comes to you guys from the Chicago CBS. Questions of equality continue to surround the billion-dollar Illinois cannabis industry. An activist group plans to stage a week-long sit-in outside a dispensary demanding reparations for ex-convicts who were put away for a drug that was now been made legal, which is crazy. And as CBS's 2 Marissa Parra reported, it has been a blockbuster year for recreational cannabis in the land of Lincoln. But indeed, not everyone is celebrating. It's wrong for them to benefit of the same product that they incarcerated us with, said Tyrone Muhammad, a founder of the group Ex-Cons for Community of Social Change. Muhammad and Greg Sherman, also the organization, plans to camp outside a specific cannabis dispensary for the next week to highlight the inequalities and injustice of the cannabis industry, Muhammad said, which is, it's great that they're doing this. And it's no secret the state is lagging when it comes to social equity in the billion-dollar cannabis industry. CBS 2 has reportedly covered the delays and lags with all this and keeping you up to date out there. So CBS is doing their due diligence in Illinois and in the Chicago area. So far, out of nearly 100 dispensaries in the states, none of them are minority owned. You hear that, folks?
Wow.
Out there? Out of nearly 100 dispensaries in the state of Illinois, none of them are minority owned. Meanwhile, sales in Illinois topped $115 million last month. And I also have another Go Green segment of how much they made recently and up to date for the years, and it's in the billions and the taxes that they paid.
100
and
how many stores?
Out of 100 dispensaries in the state of
Jesus.
Illinois, none of them are owned by a minority, which is crazy.
That's
Meanwhile,
crazy.
It really is, Doc.
Dude,
right,
that's blind.
That right there, I hate to say it, kind of hurts a little bit.
Well,
like,
it's
got to be, we got to have women, we got to have minorities.
Are they
Period.
All, are they all male? And, or do they have women owned? Did
you
they,
know what?
They didn't respond
they didn't,
on that one.
They didn't respond on that one, but they did say this one. As far as the report that I'm reading from CBS, meanwhile, like I said, the sales in Illinois topped $115 million last month and a record-setting $116 million the month before. Muhammad and Sherman say, that feels like a slap in the face. I was arrested as a youth a number of times for cannabis, Muhammad said. I missed out on our daughters being born for a cannabis charge, said Sherman. It was less than 4 ounces.
Ooh.
This was in 1998.
Wow.
Less
man.
Than 4 ounces, and you're in there serving some calendars.
Ugh.
At the end of May, the state approved a bill and a lottery that promises to focus on social equity, a fair shot for people of color looking to get their license. But Muhammad and Sherman want to take that a step further. Although cannabis is legal now, ex-cons still cannot work in the cannabis industry or dispensaries.
Mm.
Can't apply for a license. This is also in Illinois, folks, so don't get it twisted what I'm saying. Although we paid our debt to society, Muhammad said. They want not just more cannabis shops with minority ownerships, and they don't just want expungementship for minorities and the marijuana convictions. They want reparations for ex-cons who suffered directly from the criminal penalties for cannabis possessions or distribution. Now, look at how much money the city has taken away from black and brown families for, like he said, small amounts of cannabis. It's an injustice. We must stand against this right now. If we don't fight, who will? Muhammad said. Muhammad just said that reparations for those convicted of cannabis charges are mandated given how much they suffered. Expungement alone doesn't deal with 20 to 30 to 50 year incarcerations and destructions to our communities by taking black men off the streets, he said. Ex-cons who were taken away for cannabis need to see our fair share of profit. After all, we are the families that have been through it. Mm. The majority of people I know in my circles have historically been incarcerated, harassed, locked out of jobs, are prevented from having jobs because of cannabis, added Sherman. Again, Muhammad and Sherman plan to be outside one of the Chicago's dispensaries in the area for the entire week. So why this is going green is because people ain't making money for a week. So that's one thing that I'm saying is why it's going green. But me personally, I love this fact that these two cats are standing up what's right for what's going on in Illinois and pointing out these indifferences, Blue.
Over 100 dispensaries and not one is minority owned in the whole state.
And
there's a problem unlike
California,
with that,
and unlike California, where they allow the
social equity.
Social equity. If you've been locked up, incarcerated, you're able to get a license and this, that, which I love that bill. I love that they're helping out folks like that. It's a plus and a minus in the same because a lot of times they don't have the money. They're going to get screwed over in the business. But sure, give them the chance. Fuck it. Give them the chance.
No. Well, you know, here's the reality is that, you know, what it shows is that there is a conscious, it's not a free market. That's what it shows. It shows that this is not a free market, and it needs to be a free market. I think open the door to everyone. And
well, that's, you know, that's easier said than done, and we all wish for that, but it also shows the monopoly of white folk who are just running everything in Illinois for cannabis. And yeah, it's, you know, and I hate to say it's wrong, but it's wrong.
Well, actually, I don't hate to say it's wrong. Well, especially because of the fact that it's been built on the backs of minorities, right? So meaning that if you look at the records of how many people were probably arrested as well, there's probably more minorities arrested for cannabis use, sales, and everything else under the sun. And then now there's, you know, no freaking
minority-owned businesses there. And when you think of Illinois, dog, when I think of Illinois, I think of some backwoods, but I really think of Chicago. And when I think of Chicago, I think of brothers. A lot of them.
There's a lot of brothers in Illinois.
I mean, and not just the big ones like your Michael Jordans, your Chance the Rappers, your Oprah Winfrey's, your this and that. But you know what I mean?
Everyday
folk. There's
some
serious subs there, dog. I mean, they've been, you know, they got a lot of street cred out there. They've been the Myrtle Capital of the years sometimes out there in certain parts of Chi-Town. Like, they get down in the town out there. I get, you know, for hoods, as we like hoods. We know we like them. We like neighborhoods.
They're not gangs, we like neighborhoods.
We like neighborhoods. And when I see neighborhoods and I see folks, like when I was just in Kansas, dog, I went to Wichita and I went and did the downtown. And I told my wife, I go, this is what I've been wanting to see out here. I don't want to just see country. I want to see some neighborhood folk.
Yeah.
I want to see some minorities out here because I'm used to just seeing all the country people that I've been running into.
Sure.
I love that we finally came downtown so I could see some culture that I grew up about.
Did you eat some of the food out there?
Oh, of course. Come on,
what'd
player.
You, yeah, what'd you dive into?
I mean, it's funny, I did there and I did some, not a Persian, but it was Ezekiel-style Greek food I did out there at this one spot that we went to. My brother-in-law took me there, which was dope, before we went golfing. And it was great. It was wonderful. But it was just like it was a very colorful area in Wichita that I've never seen before. But my point behind that is minorities are everywhere, folks. And in Illinois, there's a lot. So for the business to be the way it is with 100-plus dispensaries out there and no minority-owned dispensaries, come on, we need to make that right.
Speaking of that, guys, it's Cannabis Talk 101. Now to the ladies of Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after the break.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Now it's time for the women of Cannabis Talk 101 with the skinny queen, Janae Ault, and Playboy Playmate, Christine Smith.
Hi, welcome to Women in Cannabis Talk 101. I'm the skinny queen. You can follow me at Skinny Queen Janae.
And I'm Christine Smith, and you can follow me at Christine's Fire.
And you are
vibing with the women of Cannabis Talk 101.
Nah.
Hi, Janae. I'm Sir. I've been stalking you lately. I'm loving your Instagram. You've been killing it.
Yeah, I actually got to take a trip, and it was really, really nice because being from a small country town, you don't take trips. Like, you take a trip to the store.
And tell the listeners where you grew up again.
Cedar Springs, Michigan, Red Flannel Town.
Yeah.
Woo-wee! Yeah. Population, 1,000.
And where did you end up last week?
I ended up in Tulum.
Ooh.
And it's like if everyone just decided to take a stick. And, like, you know how you had those stick men and just start making stuff. And, like, that's your village. But then make it hot, awesome, futuristic, and, like, I don't know. It's like mansion trees or something.
Okay, we're definitely going back there. That sounds insane.
Oh, with like just in the food and the people, and it's all on one street. Don't go off the other street. But and it's on the water. It's just it's a magical place because it takes you out of your element.
I'm excited to check it out.
And it's, I don't know. I you know what I really liked about the travel thing for me is I came from I didn't even know what low income was. You just were living in it when you're a child, right? And we didn't have vacations and have all these things. So to be older now and to go on a vacation, Christine,
Oh, I just got a text from Mark. He's just asking, did you allegedly consume on your trip?
Did I consume on my trip? Well, this is the thing with it. You can't take it across the border because you don't know what's going to happen. You play like this chess game in your mind and you try to strategize. Like you're like, if I put it in the tampon, like, would it work? You know, I don't know. Is there a new thing out now if they can catch the tampon or is a dog going to smell
it?
That's
what I did on the boat. Like I hit him in like the tampon wrappers on the boat. I bet like that's the first place cops go.
No,
well, now it is. Sorry. Ladies, don't hide weed in your tampon wrappers anymore.
It's like, no, I go through this whole checklist in my mind because the whole point, when you go on vacation, what's the first thing you think of?
Weed.
I'm like, how am I going to get my weed there?
Exactly.
And if you're not me, well, as soon as you smoke weed, you'll think that. And then once you realize what state, country, or whatever you're going, if you can't have weed, bummer. But then it's me. I still go, I'm on the case. How can I figure this out, right? So I tried it before, but this time I couldn't take my dime. I couldn't take my dime. It was, you know, and it made me
sad. Wait, so it wasn't dime time? That is sad.
Well, there's something to the story.
Oh, I want to hear the story.
Sometimes I'm a stoner. So, anyways, my purse has got all this stuff in. I didn't think I took my dime, and I ended up looking through my purse, and it was dime time
in
Tulum.
Uh-oh.
But listen, they could have taken me to Mexican time and locked me up and throw away the keys.
Yeah, I think you do like dog years in Mexico, too. They're like, if you're not paying today, you're doing dog years in jail time.
I know. I wonder how I would try to get out of that, like, you know.
Look how pretty you are. I think you could just bat your eyelashes and promise you'll be back next Friday for a date. They'll let you out.
You try everything. I mean, especially after the story Christine told me about how she got out of a ticket because of her tits.
Yes, I literally said I was distracted by my own boobies. That's why I was swerving. They're too big. I just didn't, like, they somehow just appeared. And I was just like, I just didn't know what to do. But I was so, like, because, you know, you and I are both actresses. So it was so believable that the guy's just like, I'm like, at the very least, you know it's worth it. Just go back and tell your buddies that this just happened to you. He's like, all right, get off. I'm like, woo!
They work.
Ladies, give it a try. Who knows?
Yes. And I just am super excited today to talk about the skinny on a skinny. And the question is there a gap now? Like, is there too, like, is there a place where it's too old to smoke? Like, is there a certain age where you should stop smoking? Like, you know what they say? Like,
no.
You're too young to smoke or you're too old. Like, is there a cap out, do you think?
No, never. The older you get, the more you should smoke. Yeah, maybe just young kids lay off a bit. Everyone else, the older you get, just smoke more and more.
Well, if you think about it, too, like, living in a world now, waking up to the idea weed isn't bad. Well, the question comes down to how old is the weed, right? And think about the generation where when Nixon was around declaring the war on drugs like 50 years ago. Like, think about now, flash forward to today, all of that, those, you know, old
stoners. You know he was smoking weed too, I bet. All these people that are like, oh, war on drugs, da-da-da. Yeah, let me confiscate that. How many pounds did you guys get today?
I don't even, honestly, the whole thing with Nixon, it was all money and it disgusts me because I always feel, it's really sad when you put, if you put health up against money in any category, it always feels, to me, the real is money wins. And it's really sad, actually.
Because no, it's
you,
evil.
You can have all the money in the world, and then if your health's bad, you die. So then it's that whole thing. It's like we run for the money, then we die from running to it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that people don't understand. Yeah, like cannabis is literally giving people their health back, and it's like it's got to be legal in every state.
Well, there's a lot going on. In an article in CNN, it talks about a man named Rick Stevens. I'm a hard-working, kid-raising, church-going, tax-paying American. And after a hard
America.
Day's, America. And after a hard day's work, all I want to do is go home, sit by the fireplace, light up that joint. It's my civil liberty. What do you think?
You're civil or you're civil?
Listen, that's all that weed.
It's all that dime time.
Yes. So it's your civil liberty. What do you think about that, Christine?
No, I think it's my my civil duty to snort as much Cali Effects as I can. Cheers me on this show. Cheers.
Yes. And I wanted to talk about this because it's a big thing. Like 50 years ago, President Richard Nixon declared war on drugs. And his administration...
Loser.
And his administration made sure to include marijuana as a public enemy public enemy. And even listing it as a Schedule I category drug, and alongside heroin and cocaine, where it remains to this day. Think about that for a second. That whole statement that I just said. Like, I wanted to bash my head in.
Want to bash someone's head in hearing that news. Not yours, though.
Right. So think about 50 years ago and all these people now, flash forward. We're all, Nixon, and they're all dead or some are alive. Do you think they all smoke? Do you think that they're they look back at this and think of today that they're proud of us?
Ooh, well, since we're witches, just kidding, we're not. Don't listen or burn us to the stake. We're going to throw that out there that all those people who are no longer alive don't get to partake in weed because you guys suck and you tried to make it illegal. Now you just get to sit up in heaven and just watch the rest of us and have fun. Suck it. And I just put it out into the universe. It's real now.
It is totally real. Christine is a witch. So just saying, get ready.
And stop burning me at the stake, guys. I keep coming back. Angrier.
Angrier and the force will be with her. Okay? And so what does it mean in a world today? Well, some people are willing and do take their life, the best life, in their 50s, and it's a turning point for them, and they like getting high. And the older generation is doing it. So, Christine, imagine being a part of a generation that once witnessed a president that declared war on drugs to seeing people free it 50 days later. 50 years later.
Oh, no, it's insane. It's funny because I was just looking over your shoulder too, reading, and I'm just like, okay, I remember seeing every ad, every anti-cannabis ad. I'm like, okay, that's racist. It's so racist. Like, ask my friends, yeah, it's just freaking racist. And I'm just reading over your shoulder. Yeah, it's like literally had a racist agenda from the start. And that's why I always thought it was just like fear-mongering, at its worst. So disgusting.
Yeah, it's just if we take a deep factual look here. If you think about where it started, I mean, the black people and the other people of color had their lives changed forever because of this 50-year war
on marijuana. Still in jail today.
Yes. And this Nixon war on marijuana had a bad racist agenda from the start. And it's our society that had to pay a huge price for the embracing it. And that's what Rick Stevens stands behind and what he believes in. And this really touched me because you forget about that, right? Because the older generation, they're older. They're not going to go fight that battle. They're going to,
ooh, that's a really good point. Because I know, in cannabis, there's people you want to align ourselves with, right? But it's like there's no way that, the heads of the Forbes would probably want to meet you, right? But the grandkids might. So that's what I've noticed in cannabis. Like, all these big families, I want to get the grandkids involved because they're the ones that have the money. They have the long life of intelligence. But they see what doesn't work, and they're going to want to bring change.
And so I commend you out there. I embrace you, and I actually ask for you, if any of you are listening that are the older generation that, have some stories back then how it was, what it was like to
call
smoke
and tell us, 1-800-420-1980.
Yes, and just, I want to know the stories, what it's like back then. It makes us appreciate where we're at right now because, as creatures, what do we always do, Christine? We always want more, right? We're never satisfied. We can say that we are. We always want more, but I think we always will appreciate where we're at if we can stop and look at where we started. And I think knowing some of the stories from our older generation out there that are listening, that have some of them, please call in.
Yeah.
We'd love to interview you. We'd love to tell your story. We'd love to take a look back.
No, I gotta laugh too, because shout out to anyone who never threw their roach away in the garbage can because you knew you had a 50-50 chance of that getting your house raided.
Yes.
People don't understand. We couldn't even throw away our joints. We were burying it in cat litter, scared to flush it. That shit was real.
Yes, and that's some of the things that I really...
House still got raided.
Right? Still got raided.
Still got raided.
And I believe, if we think about it, this is what what I wanted to talk about today with you, Christine, was really appreciating the moment. The older generation, they've done so much good, and, that's why they're retired and they're
living
their
lives. I'll take that compliment. Thank you. No.
And it's time for us to see the right way. And if they want to smoke, let them blaze it as long as they want. And we're going to keep pushing that freedom card. And I feel it is a civil right. And I, you know, Rick Stevens, if you ever hear this, like, keep preaching and keep doing the doing God's work. And, you know, Mary Jane, she's out there. She's, like, high-fiving you. And
yeah, seriously, how cool is it? Like you, like we were literally just in like the biggest dispensary in the world. Shout out to Planet 13. Like, how awesome is our lives right now that this is real?
Like Planet 13, just the people that they hired, they're out of this planet.
Literally, boom, boom, boom. But they were. We met so many people, and it was so cool hearing their backstories. That, like, you know, we met someone that was like the fourth person from day one, still with the team, and then to see him be that big was so heartwarming.
And it just, the community is getting bigger. You can't stop us, won't stop us. I just wanted to give a little check, you know, put us in place, look us, let us appreciate the older generation, and also let us look at where we came from.
Speaking of all the new generations, I had so awesome that we have vape pens. We got Cali Effects, we got Dime, we got Skinny Wee, Connector. Do we have any more shout outs we want to do before I know the boys are looking antsy to talk about something?
Yeah, no, I just think this is a beautiful time to be alive, and it's always dime time for me. So I don't know, Christine, what is going on with the boys right now?
I don't know, but they look excited. Back to you, boys.
Thank you for listening to the Women of Cannabis Talk 101 with the skinny queen, Jhené Ault, and Playboy Playmate, Christine Smith.
Take a hit, get lit, sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101. And Joe, you know, the ladies right now were talking about what? Did you?
I was listening in the other room. What's something about the too young to be smoking pit? What they thinking? Too old?
What age should you start smoking?
What age should you stop smoking?
Well, so that's if Mark and Craig were here, they would say never. Because Craig's already 60 plus and he's just still smoking right along.
So here's a great story. You know, I just came back from Kansas.
Yeah.
And my uncle-in-law, whatever you want to call him, you know, my mother-in-law's sister's husband, great guy, Uncle Bruce. When I say great guy, he's hands down he's been my hands down favorite uncle from jump, meaning, you know, and he lives out in Texas. And he's always been just super cool with me, right? And my wife's always loved him too, my Uncle Bruce. We've literally went to Texas to go visit them. Like, that's how cool we are with these folks, right? And went to a cowboy game and stuff. But, like, they're a family that we like and love a lot to reach out and go on a trip to go see the aunt and uncle. Anyhow, I've been married to my wife over 10 years. I never knew this story. Granted, I don't hang out with Uncle Bruce or this or that long. I'm out the Wichita Fairgrounds, folks, and at the Wichita Fair, it's a small little hokey-doke fair. It ain't even as big as the Orange County Fair, right? It's a small fair, but it was dope because it was dope because it's so small. My wife knows everybody. She's like a superstar out there, which I loved. The folks from California, hey Joe, it's cool. So we're at the fair when I engage with my uncle, and I see him there before we get to the house, and I'm talking to a group of folks. Everybody, of course, talks to me about cannabis, and not everybody, but about 15 people. You bring any samples? And I'm talking the old folk, the aunts, the uncles,
everybody.
My mother-in-law's friends, random folk, just older, not the young ones, the older ones, right?
Right, the vets.
Like when I say older, over 70 older.
Wow.
Hitting me up, right? All day. But my uncle-in-law goes, Joe, I love cannabis. Matter of fact, I've been smoking.
I'm smoking now.
I go, what do you mean you've been smoking forever? He goes, when did you start smoking? He goes, shoot, I was in high school. My sister from college came down, and that's the first time I got introduced. And I'd say, every day since, I've smoked a little weed every day. I go, how you smoke it? He goes, right here in my little pipe. He pulls out his little wooden pipa that was like, you know, a little square thing, pull out the top and puts it in. And it was such a little player thing that he had that I've never even seen one like it. Looked like he got it at a cool boutique or somewhere you go to and you see like, oh, those are cool little items. What is this little whoop-de-whoop pipe you got? And he's, you know, pushing 70, 68 at least. I mean, he's tapping the 70s at least. He goes, Joe, I just hit this a little while ago before the fair, right? So he's feeling loosey-goosey, loose-eyed. And I go, Uncle Bruce, no wonder why you've been always the coolest uncle of everyone I've known. And you're always the most, like, just chill, cool, good understanding. Living out in Texas, talking about, man, I quit watching the news, quit watching politics. So that let me know he's not Mr. Texas Go Rider, Go Trumpy, which is still cool. We didn't talk politics. But for him to just say that made me go, I see what you're saying, player. Because, you know, Texas is a big Trumpy.
Oh, for sure. And one of the questions I think I would have is, did you ask him about any pain relief or why or anything like that?
So we did get into it a lot, right? And he just says, I think this is what's helped me so much with everything where I don't have a lot of pain. And he still owns a business where he doesn't do the work, so to speak, but he's a pool business. So he builds pools for folks.
Still.
The guy ain't fucking laying concrete or digging anything by no means. He's ordering the shit. He's the owner of the company. He goes, Joe, this is why I don't want to retire, because this is my job. I'm on the phone ordering parts. And he's had such a breakdown with parts because of the COVID. COVID shut down this brand. Well, not only price, but you can't order like valves is exactly what he was telling me, because the company that makes the valve, who manufactures the fibers to put the fibers that create the valve, shut down because of COVID, so they can't get these back order on for stupid good? Little valves. Just for now, they're back ordered and nobody can get this, so he has to find another spot. This and that goes, but that's my job, Joe. I just jump on the phone and do. He goes, so why would I retire? I mean, I'm just making phone calls. Blah, blah, blah. He goes, so every day when I come home, he goes, my sister taught me how to smoke weed when junior year in high school, whatever. He goes, but my father-in-law, my grandfather-in-law, he goes, taught me how to drink liquor with hard liquor like Jack, whatever, with straight, with just ice. So he goes, every night when I come home from work, I have a glass of Jack with two cubes of ice in there, and I take a little hit on my pipe on the porch.
And bang.
He goes, and I've been doing that for years.
You know, a lot of people don't realize, again, is I had a conversation with somebody that just passed away, and I'm actually in a dispute right now over it, because his name's Ronald McDonald, believe it or not.
I don't even want to crack jokes, but I want to go right now.
Right, but so
did the Hamburglar get him?
So Ronald and I.
And what's the dispute? Is he dead? I don't understand the dispute. Is he dead? Not dead?
He's dead. No, he's dead.
But what's the dispute?
Well, because him and I owned a property together here down the street.
Oh, I remember overhearing an ear hustling conversation about
that. So I'm actually talking to him about the property.
I never even asked you, but I heard that. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm talking to him about the property. I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to the
banks or whatever.
That's why I jumped off stage right now, because they're calling me.
Oh, right now? Okay.
Yeah. And so they're like, look, you know, I'm like, dude, I'm on file. Like, my company owns it. X, Y, and Z owns the property. And you know, he passed away, and I know he's been paying the bills because he's living there, but I own the property and it's also in his name, but you know, I need to address
rectify
it.
This yeah
yeah and so one. And so they're like, well, you know, there's this guy that's living there, and I'm like, I know, and this guy doesn't even belong living there. He was just a friend that came by and started visiting towards the end of his death, and then all of a sudden,
so he's squatting.
Ooh. So now I've got a squatter in the place, you know, and you know, so I've got to go through this whole, I mean, there's a couple ways I could go down there and just, you know, man, I'm like, yo, it's time to get out. But that's not going to
get the boys. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. We got a squad to go in there and just roll them out. But
Daniel's like, uh-uh.
I just don't see it. It doesn't happen, right? You know, I just see more problems happening. You know what I mean? This guy's going to go straight to the pose and create this whole issue. So what I'm doing now is one, the place that it's a mobile home park, and we own the mobile home there, and he's and the lady's like, I can't even help you unless you give me a title report. And I'm like, it's not on file, like, you don't have the lady that does the files isn't here today, but for, you know, purposes of you know, moving quickly, because I think you should, which tells me that they probably haven't been paying the rent, you know. So I'm like, okay, so, you know, and I don't expect them to, right? They're squatting. You know what I mean? They're just going to sit there until the wheels fall off and then turn into a sled, and then all of a sudden get locked out one day and all their stuff's going to be there and someone else is going to own the property. So I'm going back and forth with Lydia, and I'm just like, you know, that's why. And literally I had to jump off in the middle of the show and run out there and take the call, because it's important to me that I get it handled. But I got to go through it, the pulling a title report and then showing that I'm on title.
Quality problems.
Yeah, yeah. And it's and you know what, though? It's weird because, you know, it's like you don't see these things coming, but they come. You know. So I didn't see these guys coming in there and taking over. There's two guys living in the place, taking over the place. And apparently there was a chick there that I did know, and I kind of knew she was there. And she's like, they kicked me out, you know, and they took over the place. And I'm like, what the hell?
They strong-armed her.
They pretty much threatened her and told her to leave. And she left because she had a daughter. And I'm just like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, all this shit went down in 2 weeks. you know, it's been 2 or 3 weeks since he's been passed away. And I'm like, well, let's figure out his, you know, his funeral arrangements and stuff like that. And then I'm, you know, third week into it, just after the funeral, it's like I'm hearing this whole drama, getting text messages. I'm been playing, you know, back and forth, but I finally got them to, you know, they asked me to bring corporate documents down today. And so that's why I said, hey, I'll be right back. And it's just down the street. So I ran down there, gave them the corporate documents. I'm like, look, here's the deal. I'm, you know, here's my corporation. I'm on the corporation. Here's all the information. Here's my picture. Here's my ID. And I sent it to her earlier. And she said, well, I know you sent it to me, but there's a lot of hickey stuff going on. And I'm like, what's hickey? And she's like, well, I'm just saying. And I'm like, okay. So can you please bring it to me? I'm like, I'll be right down there. So I went. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think they're trying to claim their owners, and that, you know, these guys are trying to take them, you know, take the whole place over, you know. So I literally am going through some kind of a battle of something that I don't even, you know, I shouldn't have to be, but it's part.
You're trying to claim a house and get yours, what's yours, and you can't even get it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and then with COVID going on right now,
can we get a grow going on in that place once we get it back?
Well, sure, yeah, absolutely. But the sad part is that with COVID going on and
can't kick folks out.
You can't kick folks out. So you know how long is this going to go? And you can, when they don't have a lease, because they don't have a lease, and so I know if they provide a lease, you know, and I literally talked to the attorney the other day, and he goes, listen, I can get them out for $4,000, but if they're professional squatters, he's like, dude, this is gonna cost you $10,000 or $20,000.
Ew-ole.
And I'm like, $10,000 or $20,000, dude. And I'm like, okay, it's worth it, right? I'll pay it because the place is worth more than that, you know. But is it worth it? I mean, the drama that I got to go through, you know. So I'm hoping that they're not professional squatters. You know what I'm saying? And
to be a professional squatter. What do you do? I'm a squatter. How are you? What do you do?
Well, the thing is, if they're a professional squatter, they'll go down. They'll claim bankruptcy. You know, they'll provide documents that show that they have a lease, and they'll start to create all these, you know, makeshift bullshit.
Fun times.
Oh,
you know what time it is right now, right?
It's dime time.
Dime time. Take a hit, because this story right here makes you want to quit.
You know what? And G4 Live Bud Tender Awards is going down September 29th through October 2nd. Las Vegas, Mandalay Bay, Terpene Warehouse will be there, guys, for all your terpene needs. Budman Stu, 420 Expressions. My man has amazing necklaces and jewelry.
And he'll be there as well.
And he will be there as well. Cali FX, it's always when you feel the effects that you want to be part of them. Connector and Skinny Weed is
Skinny Weed.
Don't forget Viscous Vapes. Now, guys, in the next several weeks, we're going to have a company that came in with us and starting to work with us. And I want to, we're going to test drive their product, and we're going to be super honest. It's Viscous Vape, and they are a THC brand licensed right here in California. And, you know, they're going to provide us some products, and they put it to the test. They said, hey, we're going to give you and your staff some free products. We want to see,
we'll see if what it, does.
It holds up. And I think it might. I've seen it, and I'm not going to lie. I hit it once or twice already. It was pretty nice. And it's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.